So if you have your Bible today, stand up, hold it in the air, bear witness of God's Word. Now while you're holding it up, understand that you're holding in your hand seed. That seed will be increased today. It won't just be in the written pages of that book. David said, "Thy word hath I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God." So once you put that word into your mind and it enters your heart, you have extra seed to go out and sow. Right? Amen. You may be seated. Turn, if you would, please, to the book of Psalms 126. Psalms 126. You have it? Listen to verse 6. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. See, here's the thing. You're given seed. You're supposed to bring sheaves. I want you to tell the person beside of you, we were given seed. We're supposed to bring sheaves. So, I'm thinking about this message and this passage of Scripture. God had laid it upon my heart, and it became so overwhelming, this process of seeds to sheaves, seeds to sheaves. Knowing that he used words in verse 6 like, he that goeth forth bearing precious seed, meaning he was sowing, shall doubtless come again with sheaves. You see, the sheaves are the product of the seeds. One little grain of wheat in a head of wheat. If you take one head of wheat and you broke off all those grains, some of you may have never seen wheat. Maybe you've seen corn. If you take that ear of corn and you break off all the kernels and you plant all the kernels, you would have stalks of corn. The same way you would have many, many stalks of wheat. So you might sow that one head of wheat, but you would bring back sheaves. It's a multiplying factor, right? A multiplying factor. And God does the multiplying. He says, doubtless, that means without a doubt, don't even think, don't try to figure it out, you will come back with sheaves. So I'm looking at this truth, this principle of God's Word, and I think, well, how is that held true in my life? Well, am I saved? Well, yes, I know I'm saved. So God has sown that seed in me, and he's given me seed to sow. Have I always brought back sheaves to him? No. Something must have happened between my seeds and my sheaves. So today I want us to look at what goes on between the seeds and the sheaves. And maybe it will hit you because it definitely hit me. I realized there was a lot of times that I walked through life with my bag of Jesus seeds that he gave me. But I was too busy. I was too distracted. I was too focused on sowing things that I wanted to sow that I never opened my bag of Jesus seeds and sowed them anywhere. But if you don't sow them, there just won't be any sheaves. In Psalms 126, yes, we read verse 6, but the whole psalm is broken into two parts, verse 1 through 4, and then verse 5 and 6. Verse 1 through 4, this is a psalm of joyful rejoicing and jubilation. Let me give you some background. The children of Israel had been delivered again out of captivity. They were coming back into Jerusalem where they could worship God. And in Psalms 126, we read at the beginning, let's read this verse 1 through 4. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue was singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. This is a party. This is a rejoicing worship service going on in Psalms 126. Why? Because these people had been in captivity. You say, oh, in Egypt? No, this is past that. This is past when they came into Canaan land. This is past whenever they had kings. This is past that time, probably during the time that they were under Babylonian captivity. Doesn't say specifically, but you see, several times they turned their back on God, and so they became slaves of another country. And this is the time they returned back, and they were so joyful. Laughter, joy, true happiness for being free, true praise to God. It says even the heathen knew something was going on with them. Even the heathen, the godless, the people that didn't even recognize God, they looked at these people and they could see the joy and the laughter, right? You see, this picture of deliverance in verses 1 through 4 it's a picture of praise. They were united as one. They were praying to the Lord. They were singing God's praises. They were full of laughter. But verses 5 and 6, it gives you instructions to how you can get to this place of joy and laughter. How you can get to this place of knowing that I have something to be happy about. You see, a lot of us that are in this room have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. If you have this morning, say amen.
Amen.
A lot of people listening today are watching online. You've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You've been given this precious seed. You have a bag of seeds to go out and sow. But that laughter and joy, no one would know that you're celebrating what you have. The people that you work with, the people that you go to school with, the people that you go to church with, your neighbors, your friend groups, your family members, they never see that joy that you have. It's still in your bag. They don't see the rejoicing. They see a continual discontent or maybe a complaining, or maybe it's always somebody else's fault, or this isn't gone right, or this hasn't gone right, or that hasn't gone right. But there's no joy. We don't even have verses 1 through 4. It's always some kind of dilemma or something that we're thinking through, and we're too busy sowing our own seeds. We want people to know how intellectual we are. We want them to know how educated we are. We want them to know that we're successful and we have a good plan and we've made good grades and we went to school and we've got a better education. Now we've got a job and we've got successful. Now our plans are geared toward those things because those are the things that we think are going to bring us joy. Well, where's your joy? Where's your joy? Now that you've sown those things, where's the joy? I would have to think at this age, after being someone who has sown myself into all these things, into my own pleasure, into my own aspirations, into my own goals and ideas, that I just didn't get joy out of it. Oh, maybe it was a temporary joy, but that joy was here one day and here one day. How many people have sown into an education and all of a sudden that education was able to get you this great job that gave you an income, and man, you were right here on the roller coaster of life, and then all of a sudden the company closed and you were here on the... Well, it was temporary. And so then you go out and you find something else and hey, you're here, and then something happens in here. Or maybe you've had that relationship where you said, man, I wanted to be with that person. I'm crazy about that person. And here we are. And then all of a sudden, that was temporary because you're here with that person and then you're here with that person. Or something makes you extremely happy and you're on top of the world and you say, this has done good for me. And then all of a sudden, something happens. You're like, this is the worst day of my life. Anybody ever rode that roller coaster of life? You know what that roller coaster of life rides on? The tracks of temporary satisfaction. You could be up, you could be down. It depends on the day. You know better sometimes than to ask certain people, how are you doing? You're hoping to catch them on the top. But that little scene of joy and laughter, it's just not there. And so the Bible goes on and it tells us in verse 5, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. So I'm supposed to go out with my bag of Jesus seeds that were sown into me, and my job is to go out and sow. And so I'm supposed to go out and sow in tears so that I can reap in joy. Well, here's the thing. This is the funny thing about these people. These people were out of captivity. Do you know why they were so joyful? They were so joyful because one time they were in captivity. If they were never in captivity, they wouldn't be happy about being out of captivity. Isn't that amazing how our mind works? There are people today that have been given. There's a young generation that's been given to and given to. They're really not happy about what they've been given to because they've never been in a time of need. So there's a jubilant joy, and we've even got it mixed up. We have generations now that even their ancestors, maybe they were in captivity, maybe they were in bondage to something, and they're still singing the same song. Boy, we were mistreated. We've been in captivity. Well, you're not in captivity now. What's wrong? I thought you had joy when you're not in captivity. You want to keep going back there? So what's wrong with our mind? We should have joy when we're not in captivity. Well, what keeps me in captivity? Well, I'm not in captivity to any country or man right now, but I am in captivity to my own sin. I'm in captivity to a world that is full of sin. You are too. And so the fact that I've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, He saved me. On that day, He delivered me out of captivity, right? But if He really did, wouldn't I be a little happier about it than I am on a daily basis? Would I just turn my happy button on when I happen to walk in church and, hey, we're in church, we're going to sing a song and talk about the Lord, so let's get happy today. No, I'm talking about my happy Tuesdays and Thursdays. And so I see that probably we all share the same problem. And we're given a solution here. And when we read verse 6, it is the instruction. Listen to verse 6. It tells us what we need to do to ensure that we can have this joy. And I know none of you are in captivity now to country or man, but listen to this verse. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Seeds to sheaves. Say it with me.
Seeds to sheaves.
And see, we get stuck in the seeds part. I'm here to proclaim today there will be no sheaves unless you do something with the seeds.
Hey, that's right.
God laid this on my heart. I walked out several weeks ago. Leaves began to fall. Everybody talks about fall is my favorite time. How many people fall is your favorite time? Boy, fall's hard for me. I'm a green grass person. I'm a green leaf person. I'm a living, there's a sprout kind of person. I'm a bloom and a flower kind of person. Fall's hard for me. I walked out, had my blower on my back. I was blowing leaves. I stopped and I stared across a piece of ground there that I used to call my garden. I didn't sow anything in that garden this year. That garden didn't have anything living. All year long, it didn't have anything living. The day before, I'd been cleaning out some stuff, and I came across my little pack of special seeds. I've saved these seeds and saved these seeds, and my dad saved these seeds and passed them on, and I've saved these seeds. I'm telling you, these seeds will grow big old tomatoes and big old cantaloupes and big old watermelons. You've seen them before, right? It's in the seed. It's not in me, but it's in the seed. But you know where they were at? They were still in the bag. They never got sown. I tell you, I stood and I looked at that garden. There was no joy. There was no rejoicing. There was regret for not sowing. And so I thought, you know, I was bearing precious seed, but I wasn't doing the rest of it. It says, he that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again rejoicing. There was no rejoicing. Something happened between my seeds and my sheaves. I had no sheaves. And I thought back, oh, Mike, your life is just like that. And maybe your life might be like that now. Maybe it's been like that. But I began to look at the parts of this verse, and it says, he that goeth forth. Now, goeth forth means you get up and you go somewhere, right? But he that goeth forth bearing precious seed, it doesn't mean you have your sack strapped on here. I've received Jesus in my heart. This is my Jesus seeds, okay? Because when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ, he puts that seed into us. This right here, this is a fruit. This is an apple. You know what's inside of this apple? Seed. And you know where those seeds grow? Other apples, but you have to put those seeds somewhere. I could put this apple in this sack and these seeds in this sack, but if it's never sown, this is the only apple I'll have. And I can spend my life rejoicing in this apple, or I can go out and I can make sure that I've got apples all around me. You get where I'm coming from. So I can carry this sack of seeds around, but at some point in time, I have to go forth bearing them. That means I'm going out. Like Jesus told his disciples, Matthew 28, go ye therefore, teach all nations, right? Go ye therefore, that's go forth, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, he says. What am I supposed to go and teach? I'm supposed to teach what Jesus has taught me. I'm supposed to speak what he spoke to me. In my time of doubt and fear, when he calmed me, I'm supposed to go out and sow those seeds of confidence. In that time when I had no peace and there was a financial issue and he gave me that peace and he worked it out, I'm supposed to go out and sow that. When the doctor told me this, but it ended up being something good that helped me in my journey or somebody else, I'm supposed to go out and sow those kind of things. I'm supposed to sow what he does for me. I'm supposed to sow the words of God. The words of God in the Old Testament were from God through the prophets. The words of God in the New Testament were through Jesus and then through people like Peter. Do you know that Jesus, after he told his disciples this, he sowed it. Peter was one of his disciples. Acts chapter 1, Peter went out and preached. What did he preach? Repent and be baptized. The words of Jesus. He preached Jesus. 3,000 people were saved. Those 3,000 people, they went out and they sowed the seeds that were sowed into them. One of those people's name was Stephen. Acts chapter 7, Stephen went out and he preached the words that were sown into him, those seeds. And a man named Paul heard those words, and his name was Saul then. And he got saved on the road to Damascus, and he took those seeds and sowed them throughout the New Testament. Those seeds started with Jesus. He's the first fruit. It traveled from him to the disciples, to all a lot more disciples, to a man named Paul, all the way to me and you today. His message was for the Gentiles. How about those seeds? Guess what? Those seeds never get to us if those seeds never come out of this bag. And your seeds never make an impact in the kingdom if they stay in this bag. What does that mean? No seeds, no sheaves. Seeds produce sheaves, but not if they stay in the bag. Yeah, you can go through life happy about your Jesus seeds. I got it right here. Hey, saved, Christian. But you haven't shared it. What good did your seed do? It grew a fruit that didn't reproduce. God wants us to reproduce. He that goeth forth, go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. He says, teach them what I'm teaching you. And then he says, he that goeth forth weeping. This is odd. We want to have joy, and you're telling us that we need to weep? I'm not. Psalms 126 says we need to go forth sowing and weeping. What does this mean? Well, why do we weep? Well, weeping is a product of sorrow. I mean, I look at Jesus. Whenever Jesus sowed, do you know that Jesus sowed in his prayers for me and you? And he wept. He was sorrowful. If you were to turn back, and you don't have to right now, but you were to turn back to Mark 14, you would see Jesus made this statement when he was praying to God in the Garden of Gethsemane. He had us on his mind. He said, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful." And in John 17, where we see the true Lord's Prayer, he said, Lord's Prayer is Matthew 6. No, that's an example of how the Lord prayed. John 17 is Jesus actually praying. He prayed for himself to the Father. Then he prayed for his disciples. Then he prayed for all unbelievers. In John chapter 17, verse 8 says, "I've given unto them the words which thou gavest me." You know what that is? Seed. John 17, 14, he says, "I've given them thy word." What is the word of God? The word of God is precious seed. And it's your job and my job as Christians to give the word. Why? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. Nobody's life is going to change by our little plan to get them to change. People's lives change because they've been given a seed that grows inside of them, which is Jesus Christ. What do you mean, go forth weeping? Go forth with a sorrowful, repentant heart. Verse 17 says, sanctify. That means set them apart through thy truth. Then it says, thy word is truth. This word of God's a pretty important thing, isn't it? We think of the word of God and we say, here's the word of God. You're right. This is the written, inspired word of God. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for us, right? But the word of God is also what the Lord lays on my heart. It's that act of kindness when I give. It's that desire to get up and say, you know what? I want to be in that Christmas play. I want to promote Jesus Christ to people so that it touches hearts. I want to sing God's praises. I want to come in and decorate a church. I want to be able to help and watch a nursery. I want to be able to contribute in this way. Let me be able to give and decorate this, or let me be able to go out and actually minister. Let me take part in a Bible group so that I can go and teach. All those are seeds. But a lot of us get to the point in life that says, hey, listen, I've done that before, been there, done that. You really don't understand. My life is more complicated now. I'm busy. I've got this going on, that going on. I understand. But I will tell you that if those seeds stay in your seed bag, none of the groups around you will look like sheaves. I tell you, we even have help with this seed sowing process. I look down in verse 20 of John 17, and you know what Jesus said? He says, neither pray I for those alone, or for them alone. You know what he's saying? I'm not just praying for my disciples to take my word. I'm praying for my word that the disciples take, and I'm praying for them that that word is going into. We criticize so many times people that go out and proclaim God's word. I've heard so many people say, well, no, you don't want to go out and hit them over the head with the Bible. That's what people are trying to do. Listen, stop a minute. I hate that phrase. I rarely use hate up here, but I hate that phrase. Why? Because Christians run down Christians with that phrase. There's a more articulate way that you need to go and be able to speak to somebody besides hitting them over the head with the Bible. Listen, let me tell you something. These people that have boldness and confidence to go out here and proclaim God's word are a lot different than those people that say, I'll keep it in my bag for a little while longer till the appropriate situation comes up, and then I'll be able to go and caress this person and tell them, listen, God put street preachers out there like Stephen and Philip and Paul and Peter, and lives changed and prison doors opened up and multitudes of people came to trust Jesus Christ because they weren't afraid to sow the seeds that God gave them. Hey, come on. God help these people who think they've been educated into a place to where they'll manipulate the seed of God and pray that it goes out in a way that doesn't offend somebody and finds a place that it may grow.
Come on, preacher, that's good.
He says, go ye therefore and sow sorrowful, with a sad heart. Because if you do, you will doubtless reap the joy. Now, understand, verses 1 through 4, they're rejoicing. So this works, right? Jesus said, I'll help it work. Not only will I take the words I gave you, when you use them as seed and go out and sow them, and you're not putting yourself first and saying, well, I've got this to do and that to do and somebody else will do it. Listen, if you go out and sow, Jesus will take those seeds and he will help the person you sowed them into. You have help with this. Matthew 3:8 says, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. Fruits meet for repentance. That means that we're supposed to bear fruits that are true repentance. Let me ask you this. How many people here know that the Lord Jesus Christ saved you from your sin? You do, right? Now, I understand that at any given time people are listening either to this service or the broadcast, and those people have never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. I understand that the Bible calls them lost. The Bible puts all people into two categories, saved or lost. And it's your choice because you don't have to stay lost. I understand that as those people hear today's message and they're thinking, well, I wonder if I'm sowing. Understand something. You can't begin to sow until the seed comes into you to sow. So what you have to do, first of all, is have a sorrowful, repentant heart. What does that mean? Not just, hey, today, it happens to be the Sunday that I heard about Jesus, so I want to hedge my bets and I want to cover myself, so I'm going to go ahead and pray that prayer to make sure that I go to heaven. That's not a repentant heart. What happens is there has to be a time and place when you say, listen, I've sinned against God. I'm a sinner. My sin is separating me from God. Listen, if I don't accept the blood of Jesus that was shed for me, I'm going to die in my sin. I'm scared to death, and I'm sorry for my sin. God, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner.
Amen.
With a repentant, sorrowful heart, I'm sorry for sinning. Not by the way, I may have sinned, God. He says if you do that truly, repentant, there's joy around the corner for you. The other kind of sorrow is when you truly are sorrowful for that person that is also lost. You know, there are people out here that are not saved, and our job is to sow seed into them, but we need to understand something. Jesus gave us a picture of soil in the Bible, and he told us that some soil was going to be hard for us to grow seeds in, that we need to make sure we sowed it into fertile soil. That prayer of Jesus and that prayer that you have when you're sorrowful, when you cry out to God on behalf of the soil you're sowing seed into and you say, God, my heart hurts to think that this person may die and go to hell. When's the last time that you put somebody on your mind and heart and prayer list that you thought was lost and you poured out to God in heartfelt tears and say, God, please, I do not want to see them go to heaven. I do not want to see them go to hell. I want to see them in heaven. Would you please prepare their heart to receive the seed that I'm going to share with them? Would you please give me the words? Would you please, Lord, let them be in a circumstance to where they can come back into fellowship with you? Would you just pour your heart out to God? Have you done that? Not, I hope somebody gets saved at church. Might as well say, I hope somebody's put some seed out there. Hope somebody's ran a plow through it. I want to see it grow. Let me tell you, I looked at a garden this year. Nobody ran a plow through it. Nobody sowed seeds. There was no need for me to hope that it was going to produce anything. Somebody's got to sow. We can carry our bags of seed with us in here every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. We can carry them to all the things that we want to do. But if nobody opens that bag and sows outside of here, you won't see any new fruit produced. And until your heart is broken and you truly care that somebody's life is changed, then you don't have the assurance, that doubtless assurance, that sheaves are going to come from it. You know, God is amazing that He gives us this reproduction process. You know, God's always been about reproduction. In Genesis 1:11, if you want to go back and do the history, the research on this, do you know that God made it specific for us to know that when He created things, He put a seed inside of that thing for it to recreate itself? Go read Genesis 1:11. It's amazing. And when He did that, He ensured the future of that thing that He created, that thing that He did, right? Every herb-bearing plant, it had a seed inside of it, from that grass seed to that watermelon. And here's the thing. You can take that watermelon. I had a watermelon, not this past year, because I didn't what? Never took the seeds out of the bag. I had a watermelon 2 years ago that weighed 40 pounds. And 7 ounces, if anybody's concerned. 40 pounds and 7 ounces. Now, am I bragging? No, I want to show you. I want to show you what God did with that seed. He took that seed, and I saved the seeds of that watermelon, and it was something that was amazing. That watermelon was full of seeds. 40 pounds, 7 ounces. When I got all the seeds out of that watermelon, I put them in the bottom of a little Glad sandwich bag, and I'm not talking about the freezer bag. I'm talking about the little one that don't even have the good zip up on it. They're not big enough to just carry a sandwich in. And it only filled up this much of the bottom. What I'm trying to tell you is, if you would have done the math from a 40-pound, 7-ounce watermelon to a couple of ounces of seed, and you would have took one of those seeds, which was a fraction of an ounce, and planted it, it yielded 200,000 times its weight. Another watermelon that produced that many more seeds times that one little seed, God's reproduction process blows our mind. And it can blow our mind. That's how churches grow. That's how communities get revived. That's how nations get revived. That's how countries turn around. It's because people are out opening the bag of seed, and it will blow your mind, the reproduction ratio.
Amen.
But it will not happen, and it did not happen because people quit sowing. We became a selfish generation that sowed into ourselves. He that goeth forth bearing precious seed, weeping and sorrowful. I know my condition of sin, so my heart was broken because of what God did for me. It gave me that desire to go out and witness, and my heart was broken for that person that was lost, and I'm going to go out and sow what God did to me. And I'm able to go out, I might sow by these different things I do, I might sow by my speech, but I'm going to sow into this ground. And God's going to bless it because Jesus said He's praying for even where it's sowed into, and I'm going to come again with sheaves. In Luke 8, Jesus gave the parable of the sower. Verse 8 says, "And others fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit a hundredfold." Think about that watermelon. Hundredfold's putting it mildly, right? And that little seed made this beautiful, bright pink red center with a little white around there and this green stripe on the outside. Didn't look anything at all like that seed. Didn't taste anything like that seed. God created something totally different. I might go out and sow a seed of just my compassion that says, "Hey, mister, listen, I know you've sinned, but I've sinned too, and I want to tell you, God delivered me out of that sin, that captivity. I had a captivity of addiction, and God delivered it out of me." And you know that God might take that seed that you shared of the captivity of addiction and grow somebody who has a beautiful singing voice, who the fruit of their seed is something totally different than the addiction seed that you sowed into them. Does that make sense?
Amen.
And God might take that seed of compassion where you go out and you say, listen, I know I'm busy. I know my schedule doesn't allow it, but I want to come and I want to do this for you. This act of kindness, and it might grow a seed of somebody that goes out and has a totally different fruit. Maybe it's the fruit of preaching. Maybe it's the fruit of teaching. Maybe that person is able to go out. So the fruit doesn't even have to look like the seed, but it'll all come from the same place. It's that seed generated from Jesus. He's the first fruits. And when we all have that seed in us and we're out here distributing, can you imagine how much Jesus there is to come up? I tell you, I decided back after this last rain that we had, which has been a while ago. We had 4 or 5 inches at one time. I went out there that night. I said, you know what? It's been a long, hot summer. Grass hadn't grown. I hadn't had any garden. I just go over there and look and think, I wish I would have sown. I wish I would have sown. I pull in anymore and it's not green like I want to see it. So I went and got seed and I got 2 bags. And then that night after it rained, that whole weekend I went out there and I stayed out there with that aerator behind that lawnmower and I just did donuts and circles and I tore that yard up as much as I could tear it up. I wanted the soil to be fertile and I sowed what I was going to sow and then I sowed it again and then I sowed it again. And I'm going to tell you, if you want to have a lot of grass, sow a lot of seeds. Because my grass came up and it was green again. And it felt good to see the sheaves come from the seeds. Or else, I'm just going through life like you are, with a bag of Jesus seeds, but not seeing any sheaves. You see, all this applies. We do our life like this because we get too busy to sow the way God wants us to sow. We sow into ourselves, which is always going to bring you down on that roller coaster trip. In Luke 8:15, Jesus ended that parable by saying, but on the good ground, they which fell in a honest and good heart, having heard the word and kept it, bring forth fruit with patience. You say, well, how can I find good hearts to sow into? Good luck. The Bible tells us that the heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. Your heart, my heart, it is. But even though it is, sometimes when it's broken, amen, when life deals with something that's unexpected, when a tragedy hits or turmoil hits, when there's something we can't figure out, whether it's a disappointment because we didn't get the call that we wanted to, we didn't get the client we wanted to, the business didn't happen like we wanted to and it's impacting us financially, we don't know what we're going to do, or the doctor called and said, hey, this is going on, so you begin to think, what am I going to do? Or maybe you're in this relationship and it's not working out, all of a sudden your heart is broken. Listen, that's when that aerator is running through your heart and it's making it receptive for the seed. And then all of a sudden, Jesus with the Holy Spirit will throw some seed into your heart when it's broken, and he'll throw it in there by somebody else who's willing to sow. So you need to surround yourself by other people who are willing to sow. Not keep it in their bag, but willing to sow, because one day it'll be your time to sow into that other person's heart. That seed was called precious. Precious. That seed is something that's amazing. You could have seed that is corruptible seed, which means it just goes away, and that's not too precious. But God says that the seed of Jesus Christ is incorruptible seed. We learn in the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter, we read in verses 18 through 25, we read about this corruptible seed. This seed is generated from God, and God gave his son Jesus, and the blood of Jesus made it possible for us to have this fellowship with God and be saved from the penalty of sin. So 1 Peter 1:18 tells us that we weren't redeemed by money, by silver and gold. We were redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Precious means it has no value. Precious seed means it is invaluable.
Amen.
How would you keep something invaluable in your seed bag and not sow it? Here's why. Because we get too busy sowing our own seeds. I praise God that about 40 years ago, my dad used to go out on his lunch break and listen to the radio. There was an old preacher called Oliver B. Green that preached on the radio. There was another one called Lester Roloff, and one that I still hear today called J. Vernon McGee. All these men are passed away, and he would listen to these men, and they were sowing seeds into him, sowing the Word of God. He came home one day, and he said, I got saved today at work. I got saved today at work. We hadn't had those seeds sown in us, so we didn't know what being saved. We thought he had an accident at work, and we said, what happened? He explained to us, but you know what he began to do? When the Lord filled his seed sack with seeds, I watched this man change. What changed is he began to go out and sow. And he didn't go to some street corner. He sowed in his family first.
Amen.
He said, I'm going to sow in my family. And I watched him change. And you know what that change did? It sowed seeds into me. I was able to see something's going on here. I want some of that. I watched this man. He's a pretty hard man. I watched him change into somebody whose heart would get broken and he would start crying. And I was thinking, what's going on with him? His ground was all broken up. He sowed into his family those seeds. And his family ended up accepting the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I'm part of that fruit that's trying to sow seeds into you today. But if he would have gotten that, and for the criticism of any of his friends or family that didn't want him to go out and sow, if he would have never opened that seed bag, none of us would be right here where we're at today. None of us. You say, well, are you drawing attention to yourself? No, I want you to see something. You are that point in somebody else's life. Who knows what God's going to do through the seed that you're supposed to sow if you're a Christian, accepted Jesus Christ and accepted that seed? And who knows what God is not going to do that he would have if you would have sown it? He that goeth forth bearing precious seed. You see, I'm giving you examples of people who had a broken heart for the people that they were witnessing to. I gave you the prayers of Jesus who had a broken heart for us. Knowing that I've read the end of the story, yes, we're all going to be rejoicing. Knowing that I can rejoice now, but I can't rejoice going over there and looking at that fallow field that doesn't have anything growing on it. And I know the reason. I can walk right in there to the refrigerator and pull out that bag of seeds that I've kept there so that nothing would go wrong, but I never took them out of the bag. And I look back on this big old span in my life that's no different than that right there is, and I can't help but think that there are people that are listening here today that have the same thing going on with the spiritual seeds that they're supposed to be sowing. And I can't help but to think that there are people that are listening here today that people have tried to sow into, and God has tried to prick your heart, and you've had excuse after excuse, but you're too busy trying to grow your own thing. Listen, it's a roller coaster, man. The only way that you can get delivered out of your own captivity is to receive the seeds of Jesus and accept him as your Savior. The only way. Verse 23 of 1 Peter 1 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. I tell you, there's nothing sweeter than to see some seeds that you threw out 6 months ago, or a year ago, or 2 years ago, that start bearing fruit.
Amen.
Can I tell you the highlight of my summer? I was over mowing around this big brush pile that I've got to put limbs on. I looked over, I saw the garden full of weeds. That's another sermon, but that's what happens when you don't have anything planted. Weeds take over. And I looked in this brush pile. I saw a limb laying there, and I wanted to go put it on. I looked in this brush pile, and I saw a tomato plant. From all those tomatoes that didn't pass the cut last year that I looked at and threw in that thing and threw in that space, I saw something that came up that I sowed last year that I didn't even think about anymore, but it found a fertile place to grow. Glory to God. And I took that tomato plant and I propped it and I thought, hey, listen, we'll make this one live. I didn't sow anything. We'll make this one live. And I didn't even remember sowing it, right? Listen, the seeds you go out there and sow, don't put a time frame on it. Don't put a limit on it. Keep sowing, keep hoeing, keep fertilizing, keep water, because it's not you that's going to make that thing grow. You know, God gives us a passage of Scripture, points out something that we need to take heart in. Paul said, listen, let me explain to you the growing principle, if I may. Here's the growing principle, pal. It says 2 Corinthians 9, verse 10, now he that ministereth the seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Listen, it's not me that made the seed. It's not me that provided the increase of the seed. The Bible tells you God will give you the seed. He'll give you the place to plant it and he'll make it grow. All you have to do is sow it. So if you never open your seed bag, you are not doing the simplest part of the growing process. When's the last time you truly rejoiced on something? You say, well, I rejoiced the last time that I got a raise, or I rejoiced the last time this thing went good. Listen, those same things you rejoice about are going to give you heartache. They're temporary. Your money is nothing to rejoice over. Your temporary relationships here on this earth, yes, we praise God, we thank Him for them, but listen, they're all temporary. Let something happen that is incorruptible. See a life change because you stood up and sowed into somebody. Then you'll have something to be joyful about. We pray for our kids to be successful. We want them to get this and to get that. Listen, if you sow into them with as much fervence as you sow into them the physical things, you'll see some incorruptible things. Those are the things that will bring you joy when nothing else brings you joy. See, these people were celebrating. Laughter, it was full of laughter. And the one part said, it's like a dream. You know what a dream is? A dream is something that I can't understand. Listen to Psalms 126, he was describing. He says, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. How did I jump off that building and run for 5 minutes and then land on my feet? Anybody ever dream something like that? Can you explain it? That's the way these people were. Man, oh man, I could have never expected this to happen. How many of you want to be living a dream? Well, quit sowing into the false, illusional dream that the devil's trying to get us to sow in, and sow into something that can make your dreams come true. Precious seed. We're sowing corruptible seed. Let's sow some precious seed. I want to close with a passage of Scripture that I think is just so poignant, direct. It finds us where we're at. It's in Galatians. Chapter 6. I want you to listen to these three verses. He says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Listen, it took me too many years to understand how this worked. There's a lot of us that spend a lot of time sowing into our social relationships, our social appearance. The world, I look, all these shows talk about how people want to be viewed, their social appearance, right? Do you know what brings those people the most heartache? Everything related to their social appearance. You know, the people that sow into their financial security, here's my financial security, I'm going to sow into this, I got to do this, and this is what is, I'm sowing every day, I'm sowing 98% into this. Do you know what their heartache comes from? Their financial security. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh will reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit, well, that's different. Of the Spirit, he shall reap eternal life. And guess what? All those things that he sows into will be sheaves that he will be able to bring. From seeds to sheaves. Say it with me.
From seeds to sheaves.
Another time.
Sheaves.
Now, what's the one thing we learn? There will be no sheaves that you will see in your lives if the seeds never come out of what? The bag. You might think you're too busy to sow today. You might think you don't have the boldness to sow today. You might think you've got other things where you can't sow. Listen, whatever lie the devil has convinced you of, Christian, put it behind you, call him a liar, and go out and begin to sow. It won't be you that makes it come up. God knows the place it needs to sow. He's put that person in your life. He'll provide the increase of the seed. He'll fertilize. He will be able to cultivate to make that seed grow. It's not you. All you have to do is sow it. And if that person that's here today, that's listening, or maybe you're listening online, maybe you're just listening to this while you're riding in your car. If you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, what you heard today, what you were able to see today, was God loving you enough to sow the seed for you to receive so that you can go out and have that joy. The gospel was preached today that Jesus died for your sins. He loved you when you were unlovable. You didn't deserve his salvation, neither did I, but he loved you, and God sent his son to be mocked, beaten, stripped, and humiliated in front of people, crucified, cursed, so that he could come into you and plant himself in you. It is your choice to receive him. You receive him today simply by believing, crying out to him and saying, I believe you did that for me. Come into my heart, Jesus. Save me. I repent. I am truly sorry for my sin. Today, if you do that, he will give you that bag of seeds to sow.
That's right. Come on now.
And you will become that one little watermelon seed that produces such a great fruit. You will become that one head of wheat that turns into sheaves and many sheaves. I know everybody has goals, what you want to do. It's hard for us to think that some of our goals are temporary in nature. When's the last time that you sat down and said, what kind of eternal things am I doing? God changed my life on a Tuesday evening about 11 years ago. I rode home late one night after finishing a job, back when I used to put down flooring, and I had a check in my pocket from a customer that I had done flooring for. I'd put carpet in the same room three times. They just like to change the color, and I love those people. And I came home, and I had a conversation with myself, but, you know, I wasn't the only one in the truck. And I said, well, let's change that room again. You know, Jesus was in the truck. So I began to question myself and said, what do you mean change that room again? Changed it again. Was this color? Now it's got a different style, different color. Made it beautiful again. Here's a check in my pocket. No, everything's good. Change it. That's what I do. Go around changing rooms, changing rooms. Went on a little bit further. This lasted all the way from Salisbury to my house. Changed it. No, you didn't. Changed it. No, you didn't. Yes, I did. I changed the room. Well, what would happen if you weren't there to change it? Well, somebody else would come in and change it. So then when I get to that part of the conversation with myself, I'm thinking, well, then if I'm not going to change it, somebody else will change it. And then it hits me right before I pull into faith. Then what did you really change that wasn't temporary? Somebody else may come in and change that back next year to another color. Mike, what are you changing eternally for me? What are you really changing? I'm giving you all these days. I'm giving you all these resources. And what are you really changing for me? You're focused on this from the time you get up to the time you go to bed. And that is where your heartache comes from. That is where your misery, you're sowing to this. I gave you this command, go and sow, and you're not changing eternal things for me. I was troubled by the time I got in the house and told my wife. Basically, I was carrying around my bag of seeds and everybody knew I had it. I just wasn't sowing. Don't think you got to sow in some mission field. That might be where God leads you, but begin to sow in your marriage. Begin to sow with your family. Then go and sow in your workplace. Sow in your school. Sow in your friend groups. Why? Because it's precious seed. You don't want to leave it in the bag. If you want sheaves, that seed's got to come out of your bag. Today you've been given the seed. You're either in one condition or another, saved or lost. If you're lost, seed's been sown into you today. You come, we'll pray together. You give your heart to Jesus, ask Him to forgive you. We'll rejoice today because you will be one of those sheaves and you will begin to have seed. If you're a Christian today and you realize, man, I've been busy and my sack's been closed and I need to, hey, listen, come and talk to Him today. He's on your side. He wants to help you. Come today. Pray to Him. Just have a conversation with God. And maybe you're seeing it work. You're out here sowing with your life. Oh, you need to be on your knees just thanking God for letting you have such a good seat to see His harvest come up. God's given us a good seat, hasn't He? Father God, I love you and I praise you and I thank you, Lord, for your word, your message. I pray, God, that you would continue to grow your seeds, that you give us an opportunity to sow. I pray, God, that you would show us where we're at today, Lord. The seed of salvation you've given us, Lord. The sheaves that you want us to bring back to you. Lord, let us see where we're at in between the seeds and the sheaves. I pray for the lost. They're listening today, Lord. They would see their need for salvation and cry out to you, God. I want to see them, Lord. Look at my heart. My heart is broken for them. I want to come to you, Lord, knowing, Lord, that it's so important they be saved. Lord, I want to be rejoicing over their salvation today. I pray, God, for my Christian brothers and sisters that are listening today that see themselves, Lord, the way I saw that field when I looked across it. And I pray, God, that it leads them to rededicate their life and make a commitment to you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.